Proverbs chapter 4. I am so thankful for these young people. I'm thankful for their faith in Christ. And I have no doubt that God will do great things with them in their lives if they'll stay faithful to Him. As parents, we're required by God to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's the parents' responsibility to teach their children, to instruct them in the Word of God at home. We want to prepare them to be successful in life. We want to prepare them to be faithful to God in their lives. And we can teach them all the right things. We try to give them structure. We try to give them discipline. We try to teach them right from wrong. But at some point, these young people have to step out and they have to grow up. Now, in our society today, we continue to, not only did we invent something called adolescence, we no longer go from being children to being adults. Now we go from being children to being adolescents, and then we sometime transition into adulthood maybe. Now we want to stretch out adolescence as long as possible. We want to stay kids forever. When I was growing up, we had jingles about it for our toy stores. It was called Toys R Us. Does anybody remember that? I don't want to grow up. You guys want to sing it, don't you? Yeah. And now, sadly, there's some of these kids here who've never even heard of Toys R Us because they're dinosaurs and they've gone away. We don't want to grow up, but that's the reality of life, and that's what God calls us to. And there are great blessings that come to those who embrace their faith in Christ and move forward into adulthood by faith in Christ. When we take on the responsibility of adulthood, when we take on the responsibility of maturing, when we accept that responsibility, we move forward in faith, we grow up, God can bless us. And so we want to teach our young people. We want to teach them to grow up. We want to teach them right from wrong. We want to teach them all those things. But sooner or later, they're going to be on their own, and they're going to have to make decisions on their own. And I don't think there's anything more important for them to do than to keep their hearts right. See, you guys are going to make mistakes. Some of the mistakes that you make are going to be easily recovered from. But if you don't keep your heart right with Christ, some of the mistakes you can make in the next few years can have lifelong consequences. You see, there's men and women in this room today who know all too well that in a moment of weakness, poor choices can be made, and they come with long-term consequences. But if you'll keep your heart, those mistakes that you make will be small. And you can get back up again. Would you stand with me? Let's read Proverbs 4:23. It's right there on the screen or in your Bible if you want to read it with me. We're going to read it out loud together tonight, okay? Here we go. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love, your mercy. We thank you for the incredible love that you've given to us through Christ our Savior. Lord, I pray that you would help us to just bask in your love, Lord, to be filled up with your love and to love you in return. I pray for these graduates. I pray for every young person here. I pray for every adult here that all of us would strive to keep our hearts with all diligence. Help us to learn about that tonight and do a work in our hearts tonight, God, that will change the rest of our lives. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you. I pray decisions will be made for Jesus today, and we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This word keep has the idea to protect or to preserve. In the old days, they had castles, and in the castle, they had a keep. And that was a place of last defense. That was the place with, if they got past the moat, if they got past the outer walls, if they got past everything else, the last place of defense was the keep. It was the most secure place inside of the fortress. And that's what God says about your heart. You need to keep it. You need to protect it more than anything else. Keep your heart with all diligence. We understand the importance of protecting ourselves, right? If you're smart, when you go outside on a day like this, you put on sunscreen. I can look around the room and see who worries about that and who doesn't, right? You want to protect yourself. You want to put on sunscreen. If you're smart in the evenings this time of year, or if you get, you know, anywhere off of pavement, you want to put on bug spray. Because there's chicks and tiggers out there, man. And they'll get you. So we want to protect our bodies. We want to protect our bodies by drinking plenty of water. We want to eat right. We want to exercise. We want to protect our bodies. That's important. We got to protect our minds. Eating right, exercising, studying, meditating. Those things will help our minds. And we, above all, want to protect our hearts. We want to keep it and guard our heart. If the devil can get at your heart, then he can destroy you from the inside out. So we want to keep our heart with all diligence. The heart is the center of who you are. It's the innermost part of your will, your being. It's who you are on the inside, your innermost being. It's interesting to me that he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, because the word keep means to protect or preserve. Diligence literally means to guard or to watch. So you've got keep it, as in protect it, but then with diligence means to watch it. So it's kind of a double. It's a really emphatic statement. God says, guard your heart. Really, really guard your heart. Amen. Watch your heart. Because out of your heart is the goings forth, the going out of your life. What's going to happen in your life is going to come out of your heart. We know Jesus taught us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So not only is it what you say that comes out of your heart, but what you do in your life, the going forth, the flowing out of your life is going to happen out of what is in your heart. What you do with your life is because of what's in your heart. So it's vital that you protect your heart. God is concerned more. God's concerned about every part of your life. But God is concerned more about your heart than anything else. 1 Samuel 16:7, you remember the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the... Yeah, God looks at your heart. Now, I can already hear some of you getting tuned up. You're like, oh, sweet. So God doesn't care what I do or what I look like or what I wear or how I act outwardly, as long as my heart's right. No. No, God cares about what's in your heart. If you want to try to play that card, I would remind you of 1 Thessalonians 5:22 that says, abstain from all appearance of evil. So God does care about what your life looks like. He cares about how you talk, and he cares about how you dress, and he cares about where you go, and he cares about who you run with. He cares about all those things outwardly, but he cares first about what's going on inwardly. You see, there's two errors here. That's why God says don't turn to the right hand or to the left. There's ditches on both sides of the truth. If you are only concerned with the outside, then you're a Pharisee. You're only concerned about your outward appearance and the inside's not right. If you are carry grace too far and you're hyper into that, then you abandon everything that's right to do and how to live, and you say, well, my heart, God knows my heart. Well, that could be a scary thing, because the Bible warns us about our heart, doesn't it? Your heart can be evil. Your heart can be proud. Your heart can be perverse. Your heart is deceitful and wicked. Your heart can be foolish. Our hearts, without God and the influence of his word and the power of his spirit, our hearts are not good. I've reminded you repeatedly, and I'll remind you again, please don't follow Disney into the future. I beg you. Don't follow your heart. Your heart will lead you astray. Rather, let your heart be changed by the word of God. Amen. Your heart can be changed. Your heart can become wise. God can give you a willing heart that is set to seek God. Your heart can be cleansed by God. Your heart can be established in his truth and his word, and you can keep your heart. First of all, your heart has to be protected. Satan wants to get at your heart. How does he get to your heart? Like, he's not a cardiologist. I mean, he doesn't come in with a scalpel, right? How does he get to your heart? How does he put the wrong things in your heart? How does Satan get after you? How is our carnal heart messed up? I submit to you that every part of your being is connected, and the things that you hear will affect your mind, and what's in your mind will affect your heart. You need to protect your heart by what you listen to, because you can't unhear certain things. Yeah. Most of you know that on this part-time I work in construction. I've been in that my whole life, and this may shock some of you, but I'll confess it to you for those that you don't know. I haven't always lived for Jesus. And there's things in my past I wish I could forget, but I'm telling you, all I got to do is walk by somebody's radio and hear a song from my past, and all of that stuff will come flooding back, and I hate it. You can't unhear it. There are things that you'll see that you can't unsee. There are movies that you watch. There are places you'll go and things that happen that you'll see that you'll wish you could unsee. So you need to protect your heart by never listening, never watching, never going to those places, because it affects our heart. You see, God works in our heart through His Spirit when you're saved to warn you of danger. When you get in a situation, you're going to be tempted, right? We all know that. But God's always going to make a way to escape the temptation. He's going to do something in your heart to say, you need to get out of here. Kerry Schmidt, in his book, Discover Your Destiny, he tells a story. Kerry lives in Northern California, and every once in a while, they'll do like the other tourists do, and they'll go down to Hollywood and see all the stuff. And he was there with his friend Moose. Moose is 6'5", and his nickname is Moose. That ought to tell you something. But Kerry and Moose are there with their wives, and they go park, and they go eat. And he said, you know, I know about that area of town, right? It's not the greatest area of town. We had to park quite a ways away from the restaurant and walk there. And on the way back, it's dark, and I know it's not a good area, so I'm on high alert. As they're walking back to the car, Moose is just talking, has no idea what's going on. But Kerry said, I saw somebody in the shadows, and we're walking along the sidewalk, and we're coming to a dark area where the trees are overhanging, and it's a really dark spot on the sidewalk. And he said, I noticed out of the corner of my eye, when we walked by, the shadowy figure got in behind us and started to follow us. He said, I knew we were in trouble. He said, I was on high alert. He said, we got 12 steps away from the dark area on the sidewalk, and I said, hey, guys, we need to get in the street where the light is. And they just kept talking. And he finally said, guys, listen, there is a serial killer behind us, and we need to get into the street before we all die. He said, Moose is talking about the dinner, talking about all the stuff, completely oblivious to what's going on. He said, I'm thinking, well, I don't know what he's talking about. What I'm thinking is, what song are they going to sing at my funeral? Like, who's going to be there? He said, so I nudged Moose into the street. I grabbed my wife's arm. We all get into the street. And as soon as they stepped into the light, the shadowy figure following them stopped, turned around, and went back to where he had already been waiting. What do you think that is? Well, that is something inside of you that says, there is danger here. I need to get someplace safe. Listen to me. There is danger in the darkness, and I need to get into the light. Amen. You guys with me? Your heart's going to be there for you. It's going to warn you of danger, but you've got to listen. The only way that's going to happen is you're going to have to keep your heart purified. When we listen to bad things, do bad things, go bad places, hang out with the wrong crowd, it affects our heart. It cakes it up with dirtiness, and we've got to purify our hearts, which is what James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. By the way, that's a verse to remember before we go eat in a little bit. Cleanse, yeah, that's the way it goes sometimes. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Well, how is it double-minded? It's because we got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. We got one foot in the Bible and one foot in Hollywood. We're trying to straddle the fence. We're trying to be lukewarm, and it doesn't work that way. So we can't be double-minded. We got to get all our heart, all our mind, all of our being fixed on Jesus Christ. Draw nigh to him. Purify your heart. And let me challenge you guys to keep your heart pliable. Ezekiel 36:26. God says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. God will soften your heart. Keep your heart soft. Some of you know that when you're in this place, you know everything. You guys didn't? Because I'm telling you, when I had the cap and gown on, I knew everything. I knew more than my pastor did. I knew more than my parents did. I knew more than my advisors did. I knew more than, and I certainly knew more than my friends did. They were just dumb. Right? Maybe you guys aren't like that, but some people in your place feel that way, like you've got it all figured out. I just want to challenge you to keep your heart soft, because you don't have it all figured out. But the answers are in God's word. And they can change your heart, they can change your life, if you'll keep a soft heart before God. Stay humble before the Lord. I have tremendous hope for the future of these young people and the rest of the young people in this church. As they stay in church, and as they stay in the Word of God, and as they grow in the Word of God, and as you grandparents and parents are dedicated and committed to instructing them and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I see great potential in this church. That these young people can be used by God to turn the world upside down for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's never going to happen if you don't keep your heart with all diligence. Let's stand together. The Holy Spirit of God is convicting your heart tonight. There's a decision that you need to make for Jesus. If your heart just isn't in the right place, I plead with you to let go of your sin. Listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the warning that your heart's giving you. Step out of the darkness. Step into the light. Humble yourself before God tonight. The Holy Spirit's convicting you. Any decision that you didn't make tonight, maybe tonight, where you're standing or down here at the altar, you just want to pray for these young people. Whatever's on your heart, bring it to the Lord right now while we sing.
Page 530.